Welcome to Middle School Matters podcast number 594. Primted will be easier than Puggle. We've got some words for you this week. We've got some back-to-school icebreakers to use with your students. And we've got some useful tools for your classroom. So without further ado, here's the wonderful, the magnanimous, the Mr. Troy Patterson.
All right, welcome back to the show. I am Troy Patterson, and with me is the world's greatest co-host, Mr. Sean Megger. Hey, Sean.
Well, hello there. How are you?
I'm well. This makes 2 weeks in a row.
It's a streak.
It's a streak. You remember the song, The Streak?
I don't.
You don't remember the song, The Streak? Oh, yes, they call it The Streak. Ethel, you get back here. No?
You have a very different musical catalog than I do.
That's true. That is true. That is true. So, but yeah, we're back for the second week in a row. We've got some, summer is kind of winding up and starting to get ready for the school year. So we'll talk a little bit about that soon. But, you know, my wife likes to tell me my shoes are untied while we're doing our morning jog.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It's kind of a running joke.
Oh, sure. Oh, sure.
I have a friend, really smart, bought a sundial for the yard.
Okay.
Yeah, and then he installed floodlights so he could use it at night as well.
Oh, that's good. Yes. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Just a thought, and kind of a scary one for some of us. 2070 is now closer to us than 1970.
Uh-huh.
That's true.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Hey, did you hear about the two blood cells that fell in love?
No.
It all turned out to be in vain.
Oh, sure.
You know, I really love jokes about time travel.
You do?
Yeah, and jokes about time travel, they're a thing of the future.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's true.
I am taking some social activity underway right now. I am currently boycotting any company that sells things I can't afford.
I'd say that's wise.
That's wise.
There's wisdom in that.
How is the weather where you are?
Oh, it's 62 degrees. It's beautiful. It's sunny outside, and I just heard some kids playing in the yard. Not my kids. I don't have kids, but which is good because I don't have kids. But
no, it's just unusual that you could hear kids playing in the yard. It's like they're outside playing.
Yeah, especially in, wow. Yeah, this neighborhood's rather older, so maybe I should be worried, actually.
Yeah, you know, I saw it was going to be humid for the next 4 days.
You did?
Yeah, I read it on a sticky note.
Oh, sure, mm-hmm. Sure.
What is the Undertaker's favorite element? This is
the
one for
Undertaker.
Dave Bidowski.
Yeah. Undertaker's favorite element. I am not into professional wrestling, so I don't know the answer to this one.
There you go. Nice cross-reference. The Undertaker's favorite element is barium.
Oh. That was beneath you.
Yeah. Yeah, at least I didn't bury the lead. Just a thought. The coroner. Wow. Uh-huh.
Extension to the previous joke.
I had tea. Yeah, that's right. I was grouping them here. I had tea this morning and a little bit of coffee. I should have had some more coffee. Uh-oh. The coroner is a last responder.
you get to say all the names this week.
I can't tell them.
And yes, today, that's true.
Today, I'm just shooting for whelmed.
And you put that in the joke section, but I don't know.
Yep. So, all right. We have someone who's been around for a while. And who takes inspiration and creates inspiration from science and nature. And he is going to share a little bit of that with us this week. This is on biomimicry. So without further ado, is the wonderful Mr. Dave Bidlowski in the Middle School Science Minute.
Hi, this is Dave Bidlowski of K12Science.net, and this is your K-12 Science Podcast. I was recently reading the July-August 2023 issue of Science and Children, a publication of the National Science Teaching Association. And I read the section, Editor's Note, written by Elizabeth Barrett-Zahn, and she wrote an article entitled, Inspired by Nature, Biomimicry. And she said, where do we look for ideas and inspiration to solve problems or engineer solutions? Nature? According to Biomimicry 3.8 co-founder Janine Benyus, biomimicry ushers in an era based not on what we can extract from nature, but on what we can learn from her. This shift from learning about nature to learning from nature requires a new method of inquiry. We've all wondered how a seemingly fragile spider web can be both delicate and unbreakable, or how a small frog can effortlessly cling to a glass window. When we slow down to observe nature and see what is going on, we can discover all kinds of unique adaptations and processes at work. It reminds us that nature has been at it for a long time, and we can learn much from its beauty and simplicity just by observing. Biomimicry is a powerful approach to designing and engineering sustainable solutions by taking inspiration from nature. It involves studying and reflecting on natural systems, structures, and processes to create innovative technologies and designs that are efficient, resilient, and compatible with the environment. When engineers solve problems, they can sometimes create unintended consequences, which can be detrimental or wasteful. Considering how to solve human problems using the lens of how nature solves problems allows us to view regenerative and sustainable solutions rather than quick fixes. The Engineering Design Standards ask students to consider optimizing the design solution, including outcomes, risks, and benefits. How can designs be improved to be sustainable and renewable? In 2015, the United Nations adopted Sustainable Development Goals, which have challenged the world to consider 17 major human issues and crises to be addressed by 2030. Biomimicry has the potential to contribute significantly to addressing some of the most severe challenges facing humanity, such as climate change, biodiversity loss, and resource depletion. By learning from and mimicking nature, we can create more sustainable and resilient technologies and designs that work in harmony with the natural world. Are you challenging your students to interact and view the world around them? Do they have time to look for patterns, find cause and effect relationships, and investigate system stability and change? Finally, and probably most important, as John Cleo, poet and painter, says, we must teach our children to smell the earth, to taste the rain, to touch the wind, to see things grow, to hear the sunrise and nightfall, to care. Please consider sharing your ideas about how students can join the challenge for sustainable solutions by exploring the world around them. And this has been your K-12 Science Podcast.
All right. So you are moving into a new building, right?
And yes.
So you're all done with that. You've got your room all set up. It's polished. It's Spit-shined, it is... No?
Well, you're half right. There's a lot of spit, a lot of spit involved, but there's no shine. No, the previous tenant did not do me any favors, and so I'm doing a lot of fixing and repairing and cleaning up after the residue of the previous tenant, and yeah. And then there's marks on the walls, and there's and then oh, it's just they thought it, a lot of the teachers and kids thought it'd be funny to leave their mark by writing on the corkboard on the bulletin boards.
Yeah.
So now you got to cover all that up. And then somebody thought it would be cool. And I don't think it was this guy that was previous to me. I think it was two or three ago. Thought it would be cool to paint the corkboard white. But repeated uses of stapling, of course, caused the corkboard to fleck off because the paint pulls. And now you've got more like... a bulletin board that has some sort of speckled disease as opposed to a bulletin board that, you know, so that's going to get, so I will do mention this. I wasn't planning on talking about it, but, you know, they have, the bulletin board paper that is special paper that will, fade much, much less than other paper. It's this nice special right. bulletin board type paper. Well, I found
which is actually called non-fade, right?
Yeah, I've heard that used in some others, but
I've seen it written on the it's like written on the package, non-fade. So yes, you were much more accurate.
It still does, but yes, it's just not at the same rate. So. But then I found Teacher Created Materials has a kind of a plasticky type of paper. It's paper, but it's got like a sheen to it, which I think it's going to last a lot longer. But I went and bought that, and I've been putting that up this week, and which is unusual because I'm one of those teachers that. So I should mention. So the previous classroom, teacher that was there didn't want the room and wanted something else. So I was able to get the room, but she decided not to keep the room after she'd already put up all her bulletin board paper. So I didn't have to do any of it.
Wow.
And so I haven't, and she bought the fadeless bulletin board paper. And so I hadn't done bulletin boards in 15 years, you know, like putting up fresh coats of paper.
Right.
So yeah. So no, I'm putting up fresh coats of paper. And I think I talked last week how the bulletin boards are just the right size to be useless. Yeah. So we're there. And I'm looking to figure out ways to I'm doing kind of this this thing where I don't care if the poster goes over the edge of the sides of the bulletin board. It's going up. Right. And one of them is one of the useless bulletin boards. I'm just gonna cover with we're required to have a cell phone caddy. So the kids have to put their cell phones in there. If they don't and we find them, we have to take them and give them to the assistant principal. So my cell phone caddy did not make the trip, among a couple other things. It didn't make the trip over from the previous building. Which is a stitch in of itself, right? So, just, you know, they had a...
I just kind of love how you kind of personified it. Like the cell phone caddy decided, no, I don't think I want to make this trip.
Yeah. I'm not going. Yeah, I'm staying there. There's a couple other things too. So I'll get that in a minute. But so I'm going to put my cell phone caddy should be here. It's a lot nicer than the one that they made me use last year. I think it actually will be functional this year. One of the things I discovered was that if we used our keys, we could get into the old building and get access to our old rooms and the old haunt and whatever. And we could get in there and we could check to see, make sure everything was moved or whatever. And so there were a couple things I was missing. And so I went over and sure enough, there they were. somebody had taken the paper right off the, or the label right off of the object, and decided that they weren't going to move that object. I don't know how you remove four strips of packing tape, but apparently they removed four strips of packing tape and an 8.5 by 11 green piece of paper. I found a monitor and some other stuff in my old room that needed to come over. So I loaded that up. The secretaries, their extra monitors that should have been brought over and gotten set up for them to use to help get the school ready. They didn't bring those over and they're labeled. And so I grabbed them and put them in the back of the truck and brought them over. I found, there was a whole set of materials for the English teacher on my team. Her whole set of grammar materials, subject, verbs, predicates, all that kind of stuff. It's right there, ready to go, labeled everything. A couple of people are missing chairs. A couple of people are missing one or two other things. I mean, if you're looking at the grand scale, this is a small percentage of everything that was moved. You would definitely consider this to be successful because of all the things that had to be moved. I mean, they by and large got the vast majority of it. And like, we're talking like 99% of it got moved and most of it got to the right place. So by and large, that worked out really, really well. There's still a few things, you know, but
sure. And you're going to, anytime you move, you're going to have a few things that are like, where does this thing? Mm-hmm. And generally you spend, you know, months. It's not until, you know, 6 months later you go, where's the whatchamabobber? And it's like, I haven't seen it since we moved. So
yeah. Yep. But people are getting things unpacked, or had things unpacked for them. I think I talked about that last week. Teachers are starting to come in, and you can tell the ones that are just coming in because all you're sending down the hall, you hear, "What in the world?" Because you know, all their finely labeled boxes have been unceremoniously dumped onto tables. I still have boxes, so the ones that should have been dumped were not dumped in my room, largely because you could start dumping, but they'd run out of places to dump. So I bought a couple of cabinets. I think I talked about that last week, and they were working out very nicely.
That's good.
Yeah, got those together, steel cabinets and with glass doors, and I like them a lot. They're doing a nice job so far. I bought a fan for my room. My new room, because my new room's on second floor and it's got walls as thick as the walls of Babylon. And of course that heats up in the summer and eventually cools off about March. And then we're just back to heat again. So I bought a fan, and that's in all capital letters and that's code. Bought a fan for my room. So we'll fire that up here. This week is supposed to get to 90 degrees. We've had some really nice weather. The nights have been down in the upper 50s and the days have been right about 80. And it's been beautiful weather for working in the room and getting things set up. But next week it's going to get into the 90s because that stuff from the south is going to make a leak up into the Midwest here. And we're going to catch that heat. And so I will be invoking the power of the fan this coming week and seeing how it works.
Cool.
So yeah, no, moving.
You were able to get into your old room as well or not, and just to check and see and all that good stuff. So
yep, by and large, it's how I left it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a number of things I wish I could have had. The big long cabinets that I used to store stuff in, would love to have had those. They won't fit in the new building and so be it. The new building, somebody took three screws and mounted a chalkboard over the bulletin board on the back wall. And then because they didn't like chalkboard and they wanted to turn it into a dry erase board, they covered it with a roll up laminate type stuff. The bottom edge was square, but the top edge is not. So to disguise the fact that it doesn't line up and it looks wrong, they used electrical tape, black electrical tape, to you know, hide the chalkboard underneath. But now you've got black electrical tape on white and silver, and it goes from narrow to wide as it goes across the board, which makes you only go, wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
What's going on here? Yeah, it's just incredibly distracting. So I'm going to take and turn that. I want to get rid of that and then just keep my bulletin board at the back of the room and just let it just be a bulletin board. And I can use that for my posters and whatnot and put up some really cool stuff. So I am looking forward to it. I've taught in this building before back when it was a high school, except for the heat. I do like the building. It was nice when I was there. The people, right? And I walked through the old building to get the stuff. And as I walked through, you could tell that the soul of the building was gone, right? It wasn't there. It's just, it's four walls and a roof now.
Right.
In the new building, as people are coming in, you could start to see that it's the people that make up our middle school. It's not the physical building.
Right.
And I think once we get rolling into that, then things are, it's going to be a good year. I think, I'm hoping it's a good year. It's going to be a good year. I'm going to choose right now to make it a good year. Yep. If you know anybody with a science cert, there's a science opening on my team. We're looking for a science person. But otherwise, the other two people on the team, we've already talked. We've had a little mini meetings in the hallway and started to reform those bonds of the team. The one who's technically out on maternity leave, she brought in her little daughter, and she's absolutely adorable. And I'm looking forward to building those relationships and having so many new people on the team over the past 3 years. We're going to actively do things. We've already said we're going to make a commitment to keeping our team meetings and having our team meetings. And because I have a fan in my room, mm-hmm. we'll probably meet in my room. Uh-huh. And it's good because we need to build that connections, and we're going to need to support each other. Our kids are going to need support. We're building going into a new room. I was talking with most listeners know, maybe I've talked about it. I haven't talked about it in a long time. I tutor a kid in China, mm-hmm. and she took her Jinkao this past year. And according to her, she didn't do great. I don't know what that means, because their version of I didn't do well and our version of didn't do well are two different things. So my guess is that she probably didn't do well in her weakest area, which is math. And she probably did really well in English and social studies, where she's a huge fan and she's got skills. So, but I don't know. But I was talking to her about the new building and the new school. And she says, the biggest thing I'm worried about is that I'm going to need, I'm going to need a accommodation. I said, you need accommodation? Accommodation for what? And she goes, I'm worried about the accommodation. I'm going to need accommodation. And I'm thinking, no, she's a smart kid. She's not going to need accommodations. She's just not confident. She just needs to just do it. She's good. And that's when I realized she wasn't talking about a space accommodation. She's going to have to go and live at the high school. So apparently she did well enough that she's gotten into a school that's far enough away, about 10 kilometers away from where she lives. And her principal has decided that she lives too far away and that she's going to have to live at the school. And that end of the week, then she can go home. And because she's only 10 miles away or 10 kilometers away. So that's her big concern. Right. It's a new building, new people. And that, of course, she'll have to live there during the week. So there's a lot of changes. And as I talk about with my kids, I'm going to share with them how they've got it so much better than other places in the world. Sorry, go ahead.
Can you imagine talking to our kids about living at the school?
Yeah, I mentioned that to the one of the schools we were at in Shizaswang is a dormitory school. Well, so, shucks, the one you and I were at was a version of a dormitory school. It was a dormitory school. We were just in the simulation part of it because it was a hotel management focused school. So I asked her what the focus was, and she couldn't tell me what the focus was for the school. So I don't know if she's not wanting to tell me, but her goal ultimately, she would love to go into medicine, but this Jin Kao, if she didn't do well enough to go into medicine or medical school, this may have already eliminated her dream of becoming a doctor or going into medicine. So, yeah. Anyway, that's another show. Yeah, no, I've talked about it with my kids in the past, and I said, can you imagine? I said, and not only that, I said, but you've got to be up and in your workout outfit by 7, because you've got calisthenics and military training at 7 a.m. and you've got that till about 7 or about 8:30. And then I don't know if you were there, you weren't there for it, but they let us use, when we were having a water shortage in Shizaswang, they let us use the gang showers that the kids use in the gym area or the athletic area. And you remember the gang showers in high school. Now imagine it the size of your school cafeteria. And That's what they do. They're out there, and then they all go in, gang shower, and get dressed and ready to go. And they have breakfast in the cafeteria, which is about, well, it's our gymnasium, but 4 floors of it. Just the cafeteria is 4 floors high. And then they go to class. And you try to tell that to the kids. I've shown pictures of Shizaswang, and the kids it just blows their mind. That's a cafeteria. I said, yeah, it's a cafeteria. But I said, that's the second floor. I said, there's one below and 2 above. And then you just watch the little mushroom clouds come out of their ears like, whoa. Yeah. So she's experiencing a lot of transition, a huge transition in her life. And then she's got 3 years to get ready for the Gaokao, which is determined what kind of school she can go, if she can go to school after this.
Right.
Yeah. So a lot of changes and transitions, and our kids are going through that. You, on the other hand, I believe are having a pretty stable, normal.
This is going to be the first year in my new role where we're kind of starting out normal-ish. Because even last year, and I think people forget last year, we were still masking and really making an effort to stay away from, you know, to not, you know, get together more than necessary. So there was still a lot of things going on there. So this will be the first year that I don't have to worry about that kind of thing. Or, you know, it'll be at least a smaller worry, because COVID is apparently making a comeback. And it's just interesting to see whether we start just treating this like we have the, you know, the common cold. Like, all right, well, it's going to be around, and, you know, you want to get vaccinated for it. And if you think of somebody sick, you want to kind of stay home kind of thing. But just to, you know, kind of accepting it's around or what, I don't know. But this year's going to be a little different in that we, you know, do that. And we're just kind of getting ready. Again, I work all summer, but I work less in the summer with this job. And but we do a lot in the summer that people don't realize. And then teachers are coming back, and, you know, we're getting the floors are waxed. You can come in and do your room kind of messages, and people are getting ready and prepared and all of that. So, and we've had, we've had many new teachers. We've had several teachers move for a variety of reasons. You know, some of them are taking promotions. Some of them are moving to other states. Some of them are just moving So they have a shorter drive, but, you know, and some are just looking for new experiences. But so we've got, you know, some new teachers, new employees, new people coming in, and we're just getting ready for that. So I have the annual training almost all set. I just have to enroll a few of the brand new employees because I have to create accounts for them. I don't have an account, so I have to create an account for them. And that's ready to go. And that's the beauty of that is that was very quick. Copy a course, change the date on the certificate to 2024. We're ready to rock and roll.
So that's cool.
Yeah. And you know, we're starting to be more social, and social not only appears in person, but also on the web.
It does.
It does. And I think we have a whole social web section.
Oh, we do. You're right. So this one, I thought this one caught my eye, and I thought I'd run it by you actually and see what you thought. So Eric M, it's Francis at Maverick.edu 12. Posted this, and I thought it was interesting because I had this conversation on Twitter about a year ago. It would be a year ago. And then this came up because when I posted on Twitter, I got crickets, and then all of a sudden I got one post back that says, read my book. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to read your book. I'm trying to get a quick answer to help me solve a problem. But thank you. I appreciate it.
We're in the land of 120 characters. I'm not reading a book.
You want to give me your book? That's one thing. But thank you. I appreciate it. I thought this is interesting because when we were in doing our curriculum camp thing last year, not this past week, one of the things that one of the, let's use the term admin, but I'm not sure that applies, said to me in the thing was that not only did we have to do this curriculum and coordinate it to standards, but then we were going to have to go through and coordinate it to DOK, depth of knowledge. And I said, standards and depth of knowledge, not necessarily the same thing. And this means we're going to have to write a whole bunch of stuff so that we can say that we're using, you know, depth of knowledge levels for each thing. And I said, so what level are you looking for the standards? He goes, no. He says, I want a DOK 1, 2, 3, 4 for each standard. And that's when I got on Twitter and said, this sounds a little crazy. Is it me or is this crazy? And the guy who sent me the thing saying, go read my book, said, it's absolutely crazy. You need to read this. And don't do this. So I thought it was interesting. This was posted. It says, new for 2023-24, depth of knowledge is not a taxonomy. It could serve as a multi-tiered systems of support, MTSS, hashtag there, for delivering instruction, responding to intervention, and extending hashtag learning. Each hashtag DOK level functions as an hashtag RTI. And I thought, well, that's maybe a better way to look at DOK. The only problem is that I'm pretty sure that the person who told me we're going to do this is gunning for the curriculum director's job in the next 2 or 3 years. That I find a little concerning, but you know, if I get to sit on the interview committee, there's my question, right? So I thought I'd throw that out there to you. Do you think of depth of knowledge as an intervention system or a method, a delivery method for delivering instruction? Or is it a taxonomy?
So I usually need time to think about things so I can think through things. And so this will be... probably off the top of my head and probably not very sophisticated. Depth of knowledge, I think, is very different than RTI. And then I think RTI and multi-tiered systems of support is kind of starting there. But DOK, seems as though they're washing some things together here that I really have to think through where they're washing things together. The issue that I usually see with DOK is that people want DOK, all levels of DOK for everything. It's like,
yes,
no, that's no, insane. You can't do DOK four constantly. You can't live there. And I think that's partly where that washing is coming for me, because I almost view the DOK as, DOK should be part of every class, right? And I think it naturally is, that sometimes you ask deeper questions. And DOK is just kind of a way of codifying that or codifying that. MTSS is something that I think really good teachers kind of did mostly, again, before they gave a name and a structure to it. But the challenge with, one of the challenges with multi-tiered in support systems is we don't necessarily give teachers enough time to actually process through how all this works and should work. So that's true. That gets to be a challenge. And then RTI is, you know, much more targeted and specific, I think. So, so I don't think I've answered the question, but I think I need to think about it more. I do kind of see these as probably related, but different. And I need time to express why, to think through why I think they are different.
Okay. So, well, I think we found the theme for next week's show.
Okay.
And we'll see if we can bring it up again next week. I think of DOK as a nice tool, but I don't necessarily see it as a, I don't see it as a taxonomy. I see it as a grid where I can run across, because you can't do, you can't go straight to DOK four without, yeah, you know, some of the other stuff. And if you spend all your time going from one to two to three to four and having them do a specific activities for, you'll never make it through your curriculum. You'll never make it through. And so I think you pick and choose. And then I think that's also where choice can come in, and you can have the kids then pick a thing and they can do a DOK four on a topic that they're interested in. I think that's the direction I might run with this for right now in, but I don't see it as, you can't say that this is a thing that you can automatically run a grid. You're looking at, you remember all those GRE questions we took for graduate school, yes, graduate record exam questions, you know, here you have, no, a house of 24 walls and 17 paints, and these can't be next to each other. Right. Which is the correct order of paint?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're turning curriculum development into a GRE question.
Yeah. And for me, the DOK, I always thought the importance of DOK was just to remind teachers not to be stuck at simple recall. Because it is easy to get caught up in very low level thinking, especially with all the multiple choice tests that were being pushed, and teachers were told to prepare kids for multiple choice tests. That was the advantage to DOK 4 for me, is to remind teachers, remind myself, to remind educators, you got to go deeper. And then right away, the first thing that came out is I had to have arguments with people about, no, wait. We're not living at the OK 4 every day, all day. We're no. Remembering things is still important. And it's just like everything else. And I'm just wondering if it's not like in part if DOK isn't becoming so sanitized that it could be anything. Same thing with MTSS and RTI. It becomes so sanitized that it loses its meaning. Yeah.
The good news is that Solution Tree has a book called True Depth of Knowledge, or TrueDoc. And it's, you can find it at solutiontree.com/TrueDoc. We have a link in the show notes. No, it's not the book that was recommended to me. I did not buy the book. I just liked the tweet. Mm-hmm. All right. So also on social media, Tad Jokes. Got it for you. This one right here. This is at yes. Dad Gives Jokes. Did you hear that NASA is about to launch a new mission to say sorry to aliens for polluting space?
Mm-hmm. I did not.
Yeah, it's called Apollo G.
I love it. I love it.
Not in the social media thing here, but and this is also for you. You'll appreciate this. And I realize this is a podcast, an audio podcast, not a visual one. But someone the other day asked me if I knew where I could, you know, get a toupee. I said, not off the top of my head.
I should have had the rim shot ready.
Well, if you want to do post, I can do it again. okay. All right. Yeah, this time we'll do it next time. Matt Miller at Matt Miller unboxing videos to show what they know what students should know, or add some fun to your video activities. Example unboxing videos to watch. There's some downloadable student planning guide, 20 video activity ideas, some Microsoft Flip tips at that link did not take. I'll have to fix that. But it's at ditchthattextbook.com unboxing. If you go there, you'll get some nice, I'll let you do that. You'll get some nice resources for your classroom. I'm actually, based on the new classroom that I have, I don't have storage and I don't have a bunch of other things. So I am going to be changing up the menu choices on my my quarterly presentation activities. And I think I'm going to do one where I'm going to say, look, you can create an unboxing video. I'm thinking that ancient Egypt would be great for an unboxing video. You know, how many kids are going to build a mummy-sized box and then have a kid in there dressed up as a mummy? And I'm thinking this could be a lot of fun. I might even plant that idea in one or two certain kids' heads, you know? Not tell the rest of the class that we're going to do that. Have some fun. Speaking of fun, CN McCarthy. CN McCarthy, words for the weekend. Here we are on the weekend, so I got four words for you, all right? This one I thought was perfect for middle school.
Yes.
First word is griffinage. And griffinage is the careless or illegible handwriting of someone. Brimted, there's actually an apostrophe between the M and the T. So it's B-R-I-M apostrophe T-U-D. Brimted. It's Scottish words from Scotland. It's the sound of the sea breaking on the shore. Put that one in an email this week to the entire, do a reply all and just put that one in the email and then watch people blow their minds. This is the one you could also do. All right. This one also fits in that same category. Throw this in an email and people will not quite get where you're going. Puggle. Now, when you think of a puggle, I think of a pug. Pug dog.
I would too. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I would guess on that one because I don't know this one.
Well, but puggle is not. Puggle is the name for a baby platypus.
Interesting.
Yeah. So throw that in an email in a reply all and see what happens. And then
Brimtud? is going to be much easier to use than Puggle.
Oh, yeah. No, there's definitely some creativity going to be required here.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I totally agree. This one, though, this one should be easier. It's great for Fridays. Okay. And that's recipicence. I'm hoping that's what it is. Anyways, it's RESIPISCENCE, recipicence. And it's the return to a better state of mind. And so you can tell, just drop that in an email too.
Yeah, there's two of these that I think I'm going to try to use.
Could have a ton of fun with those.
Yeah.
Yeah. Saying in that same vein, Susie Dent has a word of the day, and that's gadwittick. It's a 19th century word. It means to go on a merry jaunt. And I'm thinking that I'm going to use that when the kids go to the office. I'm going to say, here, take this. Mm-hmm. Take your gadwittick down to the office. See what happens if they can start incorporating that one into their vocabulary. It's the beginning of the year. Some people are already back in school, but some people are heading back here soon. And so we're kind of in a in between space when it comes to that. But I thought I would, I'd throw in a few tweets that I grabbed based on tweets of social media, whatever's based on. Some of us have moved to other social media and some of us are stuck in the past. That's me. I'm stuck in the past. Todd Finley at Finley T put up a nice little card infographic, brain blast icebreakers for students. Because I know our first week is supposed to be building relationships and connecting with the students, which mm-hmm. is great. Yes. But and then they don't like talk about how to do it. Well, Todd posted 8 ideas that he snagged from other people, not necessarily himself, and that I thought were pretty good, like doing a bingo scavenger hunt. That's one you can find probably online. There's a lot of those out there. Do a group flower, direct students to write something important about themselves on paper petals and affix them to a bulletin board flower. Things that everyone has in common go in the middle, and things that are unique go out on the edges. Three of a kind. Students find 3 other students they share something in common with, but not physical features. And then do it again. Repeat it as necessary. Rinse, repeat. Beach ball intros. Everybody has to, you toss a beach ball, and then they have to tell some basic information about themselves. And then wherever their index finger falls on the beach ball, they have to answer a question that's on that section of the beach ball. Mm-hmm. We've done a variety of those things. We used to, in China, we did those with the language arts member verbs right. and whatever. So mm-hmm. yeah. Do a snowball fight, write 5 truths about yourself and then snowball fight until the balls of paper have been scattered. And then tell the kids to pick up a snowball and read the list aloud. And the classmate has to guess whose snowball they think they might've picked up. Deserted island. Students give their name, their favorite food, and identify 3 items they bring to a deserted island. The candy bowl. Offer students to take as many Skittle candy pieces as they like, but not to eat them. Each kid then answers the question for each color they take. For example, red is favorite book, orange is favorite hobby, blue is favorite food, green is favorite TV show, brown is coveted superhero power, and yellow is favorite day of the week. And I maybe guess a lot of people are going to say Saturday or Sunday on that one. And then blobs and lines. Classmates gather in blobs based on commonalities like the way they came to school, and lines when they need to be in a particular order, for example, alphabetically or by birthday. So you can have a lot of fun with that. So I thought those are some creative ideas. I need to refresh my opening day's icebreaker activity skill set. And I thought there's a couple in here that I like that I might try, especially since we only have half a day the first day and I've only got like 25 minutes with each group. Mm-hmm. I did look at my list. We're finally out. And I have 1 eighth grade group this year. And about half of that group is half of them are kids I had last year. So I do need to do something different because I don't want to do the same thing I did last year and have them go, you did this. Yes, I did. I did do this last year. Why are you doing it again? Because I didn't like your answers and I want better answers this time. That's why. complain about my acting.
All right. Jim Thompson, that's a cool guy. In lieu of an icebreaker to launch the new school year, think about having each grade or team in your building have time to share, put their accomplishments together, share them with colleagues, students, parents, and the community would celebrate teacher voice. And I thought this was cool because they put fifth grade team in this case. You could put, you know, whatever your team is, even your team name. I think it's a great way to, for the first time in like 7 or 8 years, somebody new in the, who's new to the building said, "Oh, does your team have a theme or a name?" And I was like, "Yes, yes, we do. Thank you. Please use it." Right. Cause we've had admin in the past will just say, "Oh, so-and-so's team." It's like, no, we have a team identity. We have a team name. Use it, please. And help us build that identity. No, they don't do it. So, I keep working on it though. I'm still working. Oh, my team stickers. Team stickers are in. Thank you, Sticker Giant. Okay. Sorry. That came. So here's what they did. Fifth grade team said, "We have 57 years of experience." That might be overwhelming for these seventh graders. We have taught in 18 schools. I don't think we can say that many on my team. We have taught, and they list the different grade levels. And then we have degrees in these subjects, and they list their areas of qualifications. And then we hold these degrees, like specific degrees, mm-hmm. like Bachelor of Arts, Bachelor of Science, that sort of thing. And then we bring these strengths to the team. And at the very bottom, it says, "We love what we do." And I thought, that's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. That'd be a good way to introduce the team. So when we finally get a science teacher, I could do something like that, send it out. But
there you go.
Gotta get a science teacher on board with this here. So Dr. Caitlin Tucker at Caitlin_Tucker. Looking for fun ways to help students get to know each other, check out this fun slide deck activity. And there's a link in the show notes. And it's a Freyer model. And in that Freyer model, it has in the center, what is your most used emoji? Insert below. And I thought that's kind of a cool idea because emojis are becoming more and more of an integrated piece of middle school language. Top left quadrant, it says the zombie apocalypse is coming. Who are three people you want on your team? I've seen your wife do that one, but just in a social post. You have, I don't know. I don't remember your name being on that team, by the way. I think about it. Anyway, you have to sing karaoke. What song do you pick? And then what is your favorite magical or mythological animal? And if you had to eat one meal every day for the rest of your life, what would it be? That's kind of cool. I thought that might be nice. Kristen Engel at Ms. Engel Teach, replying to at Julie S. Hessen. My least favorite experience, or at least from my experience. Sorry, I was going to say, why would you post your least favorite here? Anyway, this has been a fun icebreaker activity to do with students and teachers, faculty, and staff. And that's, where'd I put it? Oh, I had it up. I was going to take a picture of it too. Oh, it's called The Great Wind Blows. So the kids sit in a circle and one person sits in the circle, right? And then what they do is they try to find commonalities. For example, if the great wind blows for those who came to school on the bus today. So if you came to school on the bus, then you stand up and you have to find a new seat, and it has to be at least two seats away from your original seat. And the last person standing swaps with the person in the middle, and they start by asking a question by saying, "The great wind blows for everyone who has ever been to Canada." Okay. And so then, you know, you could mix it up that way. And that way kids get to know each other. I thought it was a cool idea. This I thought was very interesting. I took a snap of it rather than posting it as a text. This person, Dr. Bob Nicholson at DigiVictorian, uses this with his history students. And I thought this would be kind of cool to do as well, because of course in middle school, middle school social studies, one of our requirements is to connect the present with the past. And I thought this was cool. So new history students are arriving on campus next week, and I'm tempted to use this as an icebreaker. Terrible idea. And it comes from another post he did. It says, Can you draw a cat? And I meant to ask you, by the way, can you draw a cat?
Not very well, but I can draw a
cat. Okay. Well, this is also, I've also seen this done as, can you draw a pig? But this one here is a foolish craze is revived. And this comes from an Answers magazine snippet in 1890. Okay. And this would be fun to have the seventh graders do with other kids.
Right.
All right. It says a foolish craze revived. A new idiotic craze is thus described by a society paper. Quote, can you draw a cat? Unquote, is the latest social question. And you are immediately handed pencil and paper and requested to give your best idea of a cat. One lady I know who has what she calls a cat basket, where she keeps all the wild attempts her friends make to draw a feline. It is astonishing how few people really know what a cat looks like. Ask your friends to draw a cat and see the funny things that they make. That might be kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, can you draw a cat? And then hand somebody a piece of paper. Mrs. Lammy Art at Jen Lammy. My A1 class is awesome. There are a lot of seniors there, and they have a lot of games for the silly icebreakers. I already had a new student excited to show me her personal art. And here are some adorable pigs from the pig personality test. So what you do, and there's a link in the show notes, you ask the kids to draw a pig. And then what you don't tell them is that, don't tell them it's unscientific, but then you tell them that you can tell their personality just based on how they drew the pig. And you could do a cat. Like in my community, I'm going to have to say cat instead of pig, but you could do cat. So take the mm-hmm. previous one, do it here. And then you can say, you got this personality if you put your pig at the top of the page. You got this type of personality if your pig is in the middle of the page. You have a big pig, well, you got this personality trait. You got a small pig, you got that personality trait. The list is there in the link in the show notes. So you could have a lot of fun with that. And at the very end, then you can tell them, this is completely scientific. I hope you had fun. Maybe some of the things are true. Maybe they weren't. Turn to a friend and share. Turn to somebody you know, and they know you, and share. So I thought that'd be kind of cool. So there's some strategies for icebreakers for your opening this year. Hope that you're able to use those. And those all come from the social web.
Yeah. And one of the strategies that's really valuable is annotation.
I'm going to take notes on this. I'm going to annotate this right now.
You're going to annotate this right now. And this one is, the article is actually teaching annotation to high school students, but I think it works just as well for middle school kids. Get them started on annotation. As Sean knows, I use Hypothesis, which allows for annotation for websites. And I think I'm one of the few people that use it. I have trouble getting other people to use it. And I shouldn't say it that way. I don't necessarily. I just make people aware of it. It's like, if you want to use it, great. If you don't, I understand. But teaching kids to annotate, yeah. Sean doesn't use it. But teaching kids to annotate is another one of those things that it makes kids think, and it gives them an opportunity to process. And that can be very, very important for kids. And they point out that we don't necessarily teach them how. So not only do they not understand what annotation is, they don't understand how to do it, and they don't understand why they would do it. So it is important, I think, to talk to kids about that, about how annotation is intentional. It allows us to engage more deeply with texts. It's practical. I think Sean actually does do some annotation, but it's in the books that he's reading. You're a scribbler, aren't you? Are you a book writer?
I keep a mechanical pencil for my personal books. I keep a mechanical pencil just to do this type of thing. I do have an hypothesis account. Oh, this is catchy. Now you got me doing it. I do have one, and I use it every now and then, but it's kind of like when I was packing to pack the room and move it over to the building.
Yeah.
I discover stuff and go, oh, I saved that. Mm-hmm. And I think it comes down to how often and frequent you have to use that. And you have a greater need for it and a more practical need for it than I do. Now, should I be using it? Yes, I probably should. It's just that I don't. So,
yeah, I don't know about should or shouldn't, but I have a habit of using it. And I use a lot of it for bookmarking and bookmarking because it bookmarks across all of your whatever web browser that you're using, whatever device that you're on, whatever anything, you have bookmarking and then also annotation, and it's there. So I don't have to go, oh, which computer was I on when I did that kind of thing.
I'm going to rabbit trail off of this for a second. Have you played with the Arc browser more?
Not tons, no. So I need to go back to that. I haven't a chance.
And one of the things I like about the Arc browser, I've been playing more with it this week, especially as I've been setting up the computer at work and getting things organized and set up there to start getting things going. One of the things I like about the Arc browser is that it manages bookmarks and tabs differently than other browsers. So there's certain tabs I'm going to use all the time. The one to log attendance, the one to for mail, the one for, you know, certain things have to be open all the time, right? And the way it's set up on the Google Chrome at work is that whenever it shuts down, restarts, or whatever, I gotta go and reload those tabs. Yes, I could do it other ways. I get that.
Hang on. Do you pin your tabs?
I do. In the Arc browser, I pin them.
So in Google Chrome, you can also pin your tabs. And when you reopen your browser, those pinned tabs will be there still.
Then that's where I'm going to go with things. But one of the things I did like is you just simply take the tab and you slide it above a certain bar and it's pinned. And I'll do that. I'll start doing that in my Chrome as well. But that's one of the features I've been liking about the Arc browser is that it has that feature. So
cool. I teach people the pin tabs because also command and a number will go to that tab. So from example, for me, I always have at least 4 pin tabs. Google Gmail is pin 1. Calendar is pin 2. Drive is pin 3. Chat is pin 4. Actually, Keep is pin 5 for work. And what that means is command 1, Apple 1 goes to my mail, Apple 2 goes to my calendar, blah, 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 blah. So, okay. There are tons and tons of AI options out there right now. And I think the strategy at this point is to continually find the new ones before they start charging for them.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, we did Knowledge, NOLEJ. We used that until they started charging for that.
And that was a really short space of time, too. Yeah, man, they went monetary fast.
Yeah. No, that's fine. The latest one that I think we both have found is EduAid. And this one is pretty doggone powerful. You get lots of stuff. It's in beta right now, so it's free for now. It's going to be pay eventually.
But, for sure.
Yeah.
Imagine if these people and Knowledge got together.
And had a baby. EduKnowledge.
Then walked into a bar? What?
So there you go. So yeah, but this one is really impressive. They do, they give you lots and lots of stuff. You know, if you need, if you're looking for creativity and to streamline some of your processes, this could be very valuable. And I know a lot of, I know we talked about depth of knowledge for a little bit, but a lot of these are useful for creating exams as well, even multiple choice things, and then popping them into H5P. So,
love, you know, H5P.
Love H5P.
Yeah, me too. And then there is also Tome, which is another idea of, you know, creating, helping you create things. Tome, whatever you want to say, Tome helps you figure out how to say it without losing the nuance or struggling for hours with design and formatting. Tome isn't a deck or a doc or a splash page. It's built for the way we communicate, a fluid multimedia canvas that lives on the web and looks great on any screen. AI tools built for expression help you explore new approaches and instantly generate new content so you can get your ideas across compellingly. So this one is, does have a free level for individuals, the which gives you unlimited, it's unlimited for individuals, gives you 500 AI credits upon sign up, and then it's $8 a month for the pro version. And you can, they have templates and they create some pretty cool stuff. So if you're looking for some cool stuff, you know, take advantage of it. I think their free version, their free part stays free. They're targeting more businessy people than educators, but you might want to take advantage of it. So, and then just a couple of real quick ones here. Google Slides is adding annotations to slides. So while you're giving a slide or giving a presentation, you get a new pen tool. You can circle, underline, draw, write notes directly on the presentation. And I know a lot of teachers like to do that. So this would be another way of doing that, kind of creating it like a whiteboard kind of thing. So if you're looking for Lego instructions, there is the Lego Building Instructions Collection, which is pretty doggone comprehensive. So if you were like, I want to build a majestic tiger, they have the Majestic Tiger Building Instructions. The Volkswagen T2 Camper Van, they have the building instructions. Bonsai tree, they have the building instructions. So there's just tons of those. So if you got some Legos, or, you know, you can have your kids, hey, try making this one kind of thing. So
that's cool.
Yeah. You've got some, you've got some action that teens can take as well.
Yeah, so one of our listeners posted in the social media that she was going to be working on advisory things and partnering it with a book that she wrote, Amber. And she's partnering her book with this book called The Action Mindset Workbook for Teens. And I really like this book. I'm working my way through it, not just because I also need to take some action in my own life, but I have an action mindset, but I'm working my way through because I really want to use this with my kids. And one of the things it does, and it provides some examples, like here's a teen, here's what they want, but they don't know how to get it. How do they then go from being a victim mindset to an action mindset where they start being proactive for themselves? And so they walked, we walked through it, and then it would walk through and say, where did they make their mistake? And the kids identify it. And then they start saying, okay, so now let's talk about your life. What is something that you want to take action on in your life? And what's holding you back from what's paralyzing you from taking that action in your life? And then it goes through and does steps. And what does it look like? And helps them with visualize it. And then it tells them, look, all right, so we're going to put this into place and you're going to do it now. So now you got to do it. You've got a plan. You've seen what it looks like. And so I'm looking for it. I have more work to do in the book to read it, not to actually fill it out for myself. But I'm thinking this is going to be a wonderful little advisory tool. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do it. I'm probably going to partner it with her book. She did a book on movie clips and using movie clips to help kids visualize and realize things in their own lives. And I've got the book around here somewhere. I got to find it. I've been moving a room. So yeah, I know it's somewhere, but I just got to find it. Anyway, that I think is something that I'm going to use in my advisory this year. And take a look at it. See what you think. Amazon. I put the Amazon link in there. It's not that expensive. I'd be very curious to see what you think. I'm going to share it also with my mentee. He's in his second year teaching middle level, and because he's in his early career, he qualifies for AMLE's Early Career Educators membership. And these are for kids who are in their right at the beginning of their careers, and they need some support. And so AMLE has said that at AMLE, we know it's essential to our mission to support early career educators. We also know what a challenge those initial years in the classroom can be. That's why we're launching a membership specifically for early career educators designed to help them to thrive. You have to apply for it. It's launching in August of 2023. We have a link in the show notes where it says provides. You can click on that and it'll take you there. Or there's a link down below at the bottom of the snippet on our webpage. But if you do take advantage of the early career educators membership, you get all the benefits of the professional membership, including the successful middle school online course series, which is pretty valuable in and of itself, a print subscription to Middle School Journal, access to the forthcoming AMLE Early Career Teacher Support Network, including monthly cohort check-ins moderated by a veteran teacher. You get an opportunity to be paired with a trained AMLE mentor, and you get additional discounts in the AMLE store and on registration for events and the conference. So take a look at that. That may be something that you might want to encourage the rookie on your team to take advantage of. And if you'd like to be the rookie on my team, we'd love to have you. Just need to be a science teacher. So, yeah. I got something from the culture translator for you this week.
Okay.
All right. You ready? You remember years and years ago on TV, we would always see somebody, especially if they had the certain little tattoo of the language, that if they wanted to express something that was, just right, they would give it a chef's kiss, right?
Mm-hmm.
You take the fingers and yeah. All right. So apparently it's making a comeback.
All right.
So what it is the physical gesture, excuse me, that originated on TikTok to become an integral part of how Gen Z communicates in real life. So this chef's kiss, and among a number of these other physical expressions like this, the kids are taking emojis and using them to express this level of communication now in their emojis, and they're doing it to express these. They're coming up with some really cool ones. And there's a link in the show notes. You click on the physical gestures and it'll show you, which is why I thought also in that Frayer model thing where at the center part where it says, yeah, so share with us an emoji you use a lot. Some of these might show up in there. So you may want to make yourself familiar with some of these. It's a kind of a portmanteau in some cases where they're taking in multiple emojis and smushing them together and saying, oh, see, that's the one I mean. That's the chef's kiss. So shorts. Are you familiar with shorts?
Yes, I'm wearing them right now.
That is excellent.
those of you who don't see the video podcast, that is something that I appreciate. So YouTube's TikTok competitor is Shorts.
Yep.
And Shorts is gaining traction. And according to the Wall Street Journal, they argue that it's limiting attention spans. Anecdotally, some parents have noted that the short form content is harder for their teens to disengage from. And researchers worry with developing brains that they'll be impacted long-term by shorter attention spans. As of this writing, parents can't disable Shorts content with the YouTube app or a set time limit that's just for Shorts. Although some third-party plugins do have the ability to block them. So just be aware that kids are moving away from TikTok and they are going to Shorts. And it does seem to be stimulating their brains a lot more than TikTok did or does. So that is the word on the street. And you might find a spotlight on the web.
Yeah. Just, Neil.Fawn has some wonderful links. And one of them is the Wonders of Street View. This is just a whole lot of fun. These are things that are in Street View that are fascinating. And every time you open it, you get a different view. Some of them are very pleasant. Some of them are very odd. There's a little random button on top. You can just click the random button and you get a random street view, which is Google's potential, which is Google's mapping, right? They've done the street view and there's the Potato Hotel, for example, which is what I just got.
Okay, Potato Hotel. Oh,
and I got the McDonald's in Freeport, Maine, which does not have golden arches because they can't. They're not allowed. So that's a
who knew?
A little close to home there. So there's that. That Nick Powers guy is another link. He's got some spreadsheets, and you can download the spreadsheets. He does amazing correlations. He's a very specific political bent, so be aware of that. But the data is the data as well, or the data is the data, depending on which way you want to say this. And then another kind of a heads up that there is a company that is making vape pens that look exactly like highlighters. And I mean exactly. But they're vape pens. They have two versions. They have the office version, which is good for 4,000 puffs, and the office 6 version, which is good for 6,000 puffs. And there's a picture of them on the website over at middleschoolmatters.com. And of course it's optional if you go over to middleschoolmatters.com, but is cursive optional?
That's interesting. So, cursive I know is a wonderful, topic that, Troy likes, and that we've gone back and forth on this. And I just wanted him to know that the Michigan legislature has decided to weigh in on this question. And so I put a link in the show notes to, House Bill 4064. So this is the 4,064th bill in the House. But they made it.
2023.
Yep. So here you go. Cursive will now be an optional subject for schools in the state of Michigan.
Yep.
There you go.
There you go. Good to know. It is also optional, but greatly appreciated if you tell your friends and colleagues about the show and the website and head over and check all it out. Listen in, send us some feedback. There are links on the website. I'd love to hear from you. With that, this has been Middle School Matters for middle school educators who care. All opinions expressed. expressed on this podcast are exclusively the opinions of the host and guests and not indicative of any employer.